Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Well, as we have moved along in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we have come to a section that is several verses long where Paul tells us how he conducted himself in ministry. Now, this obviously is related to what he said in the first six verses of chapter 2, where he described his ministry in several areas, that it was effective and that it was courageous and so forth. We went through all of those things in the first six verses. And so what we're coming to now is not a section that is totally separated from what he has said before, but it actually builds upon it. But he describes his ministry, first of all, as being childlike, secondly, as being motherlike, and thirdly, as being fatherlike. That's an interesting way of putting it, but that's what he does. And so we need to look at what he says and see it in its context and understand it to our profit and our ability to apply these truths to our own lives in whatever areas of ministry, service, and responsibility that God has given to each one of us. And so with that in mind, thank you for joining us on this Wednesday, May 1, and thank you for praying for us. I trust you do. And thank you for considering helping us with the financial resources that we need to continue this ministry on this station. Well, as you heard on the broadcast yesterday, if you were tuned in, Paul, first of all, describes his conduct, his way of conducting his ministry in verse 7 as being childlike. Now, where do we get that? Well, it says, but we were gentle among you, and that word gentle in some translations is translated childlike, because in the Greek there is that connection. And as you remember, that is in contrast with the denial of abusive apostolic authority that he mentions at the end of verse 6. He says, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ, why might you have done that, Paul? Because I am an apostle of Christ. Why might you have done that, Paul? Because those who have authority have the right to exercise the authority, and I am an apostle, I have that right. And because those who have been given authority have a tendency to, what should I say, to abuse their authority, to overuse their authority, to revel in their authority, to flaunt their authority. That is a human tendency. That is a sinful tendency, of which Christians are not immune. But Paul says, you can bear witness to the fact that I did not conduct myself that way in Thessalonica. When we might have made demands as apostles of Christ, we did not. And he's going to go on and tell us more about that as we move along. But that statement is very instructive, because then he tells us how he did conduct himself and how he did exercise his authority by way of contrast. We might have made demands as apostles of Christ, that is, more demands than necessary to carry out our ministry. And it would have been legitimate. I started to say it would have been appropriate. I don't think it would have been appropriate in most cases, but it would have been legitimate. He was an apostle, and so he could have said, I am an apostle, and as an apostle, I expect this, and I expect that, and I expect the other. And you have to surrender to that. You have to submit to that. But he didn't. We might have made demands as apostles of Christ, but, moving into verse 7, we were gentle among you. We were childlike among you, rather than being overbearing and authoritative in our legitimate apostleship among you. We were gentle. We were like little children in your midst in our exercise of authority. That's a very interesting statement. Now, it's clear that the reason Paul was able to do that in Thessalonica was because he did not have people challenging his authority. He did clearly have some people who were criticizing it and questioning it, but they don't seem to have been members of the church. They seem to have been those who were outside the church, who were pecking around the edges of the church and trying to undermine the authority of the Apostle Paul so that some of the members of the church would follow them instead of Paul. But there does not seem to be any indication that within the church of Thessalonica there was any resistance to Paul's apostolic authority, which allowed him to exercise it gently. Now, it hasn't been that long ago since we taught through the 1st and 2nd Corinthian epistles on the Beacon broadcast. And you remember that in Corinth, Paul's authority was challenged, and he had to exercise it with a great deal more force than he did in Thessalonica. He had to command them. He had to warn them. He had to tell them that if they didn't get things straightened out when he came, he was going to go after those who were unsubmissive to the truth that he taught them and the legitimate demands that he made of them for forsaking their sin and living a Christian lifestyle. And if they didn't do it, he was going to deal with them forcefully when he came. And we can tell from those epistles that his dealing forcefully meant, number one, to confront them, to rebuke them, and if they would not submit, to remove them from the fellowship of the church. In other words, to excommunicate them. You say, well, that sounds pretty harsh. Sometimes that's necessary. The Bible teaches that. But what Paul is telling us is that it is much better not to have to do that, and you exercise authority with gentleness, with love, with kindness, with persuasion, as a general rule, and only exercise it with force when it becomes absolutely necessary, when there is strong resistance and rebellion, which cannot be allowed. And sometimes that is the case. And therefore, those who exercise authority have to learn both to be gentle and to be forceful and to know when to be which in which situation. But the point is that you try to exercise authority gently as much as possible, as long as possible. And Paul said, that's what I did in Thessalonica, and I never had to change. That's what I did the whole time I was there. He's showing us how those with authority are to exercise authority, not to abuse it. To lead by example, not by coercion and force. And that's the way Paul conducted his ministry. On more than one occasion, he said things about, follow me, look at my example, learn from my life, copy my lifestyle, be an imitator of me as I am of Christ, and things like this that Paul says to his churches. Because that's the way he conducted his apostolic authority, his apostolic leadership most of the time. And as I said on the broadcast yesterday, this is the way that God wants all of us who have authority to exercise it as long as we can, as far as we can. Now, those who are abusive in authority generally think they have justification for doing so. And it's possible that you do. I've already described for you situations where a stronger approach may be necessary. But here's the point. Here's how you can tell. If your approach is consistently one of harshness, sternness, demands, ordering, commanding, then something's wrong. Your consistent approach should be gentle, quiet, childlike, and only in rare instances should it rise to a more stern and demanding form of leadership. Do you understand? There are, like so many things, there are two ditches on the other either side of the road. You hear me say that a lot. And when it comes to exercising authority, one ditch is to be consistently and constantly stern and demanding and overbearing all the time. I have this authority, and you must submit. I require it. I demand it. Wrong. Not if you're a Christian, not if you're a Christian who obeys the Bible, not if you're a Christian who follows the Lord Jesus Christ, not if you're a Christian who learns from the Scriptures, not if you're a Christian who is listening to the inspired words of the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, you're not going to do that. But the ditch on the other side of the road is to be a Homer milquetoast. You know what that means? I don't hear that expression very often anymore. But to be so quiet and meek and what you consider to be Christ-like all of the time that you are incapable of exerting force when it is required. That's a mistake as well. So, those of you who have authority, husbands, fathers, mothers, employers, teachers, government officials, and so forth and so on, leaders in the church, if you have a position of authority there, how do you exercise your authority? What is your approach to authority? Is it a Pauline approach? Is it an apostolic approach? You don't have that much authority. Paul was an apostle. That was more authority than anybody I'm speaking to has. But I know, just answer that question. What kind of authority do you exercise with your wife, dear husband? Is it gentle? Or is it stern and strong and demanding? What kind of authority do you exercise with your children, fathers and mothers? Is it gentle or is it harsh? And so forth. What kind of authority do you exercise with your church, pastor? Is it gentle or is it demanding? I'm the chief around here. Well, the Bible shows us the way. And we need to learn from the Scriptures that God has given us to teach us how to conduct ourselves as believers. May God help us to do it. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.